This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station. Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
We all, and I got to interview Dr. Billy Graham a few years ago, and I didn't ask him this at the time, but I was told that he said anyone who gets a call of God gets a death blow. Now, I don't know if those were his exact words. I should have asked his daughter that too, because I met her afterwards, but after he died, we get a death blow. And I think it's because, you know, we don't know what happened to Jesus after the age of 12 until he appears at the age of 30 to start his 3-year ministry before he would leave the earth, fulfilling the prophecy of the Messiah and the Passover Lamb of God. And just marvelous, and just as Abraham was willing to give up his son, God ultimately did give up his son. And I don't know why people are blind to that. But anyway, just kind of going down a little bit of a rabbit hole there. But I want to, by the way, in case somebody's just tuned in, I want them to know we're talking with David Preston Usher. He is a lifelong friend of mine. We met, I don't know, a year or two before I came to know the Lord. I think when I first met you, I had not known the Lord, and I had a born-again miraculous encounter while I was a struggling songwriter living in the ghetto of Troy, New York. And as David saw, and then a year or so later, you came to know the Lord miraculously. You were going through a valley, lost a girlfriend, lost a job. And oh, by the way, we forgot to say one thing. You called Diane on the phone, and she said, perhaps it's time that you receive Jesus. As you said, do you know Jesus? She said, do you know Jesus? And you said, well, I know about him, but I don't really know him. She said, well, let's say this prayer. And you said a sinner's prayer. And you said it was like electricity came over you. You were on the phone with her. So you got saved while you were on the phone. The electricity went through you, and you knew that Jesus was the Messiah. And a friend of yours named Rhett Palmer pointed out a few weeks later. I said, David, pick up your phone. And I said, what is your phone number? It's 465-2580. It makes a cross. Now, maybe that sounds coincidental. It is. But God's in charge.
You know, it wasn't coincidental at all, because at the time I was making a pretty good living on the phone all day long. And all we did as telemarketers at the time, calling attorneys and accountants, was press that phone. And so I turned that truth that you found out, that my phone number at the time that I accepted Christ formed a perfect cross, I put that on an Easter card, and I shared that testimony with about 60 people, and many people came over to my cubicle where I worked and said, wow, that really touched me, that story. And I knew that it touched a lot of people, because what my, on the Easter card was, God had my number. Your number. You cannot hide from God. He has your number. He knows you. He knows where you live. He knows what you're going through. And he knows what you need to have a meaningful and fulfilling life. But you need to allow him to come into your life. Love is a choice, whether it's your wife, your husband, your children. Every day we make choices. And if this is a choice, God presents himself as, I stand at the door and knock on the door of your heart, to open up and let him come in. And when he comes in, he fulfills the desires of your heart, desires for love, for kindness, for goodness in your life. And so Rhett and I are here really because we've both been called of God into this beautiful love relationship with our loving Father. And there's so many things that he has for us to do and to experience. And life is so wonderful with God in the center of it.
Always love, never fail. And that goes with, we can apply that to so many things. You might meet up with somebody who's living an alternative lifestyle that maybe you think that God wouldn't approve of, or that you don't approve of, whoever it might be. No, always love, never fail. Jesus didn't go around yelling at people. The only time he yelled was in that one scene where they were selling stuff at the temple, and he turned over the table saying, you've taken my Father's house and turned it into a house of thieves, or money, or whatever it was, a house of greed. And so, but he did, any individual, if you read the scriptures, any individual he ran into, He even to the Pharisees who were living just a religious life, he said, I tell you that the prostitutes and the tax collectors, the scum of the earth at the time, that they are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. That doesn't make sense. What do you mean ahead of us? Why? Because they were coming to know after his death the conversion of coming to know the Lord, and prostitutes and tax collectors. And, you know, it's kind of raised, like you said, you and I used to spend a lot of time going into jails together to minister, because Jesus plainly states that in the end times, at the day of judgment, that he said, many will come to him and say, we did signs and wonders in your name. We delivered demons in your name. We did this and that, excuse me. Then he'll say, depart from me. I never knew you. Depart from me forever. What? And to others, he'll say, you fed me when I was hungry. You clothed me when I was naked. You visited me in prison. And they will say, well, we don't remember you. When did we do this to you, Jesus? And he will say, he said this. He said, I will say, as you did it unto the least of these, mine brethren, you did it unto me. Come in, for your reward is great. And so, once again, it's giving dignity. He wants us to go into prisons and dignify the people. They are of value to God. Therefore, they are of value to us. Every bum on the street, you've got doctors that are on the verge of committing suicide. You've got alcoholic judges. You've got, alcoholic whatever, rich people, poor people, and everything in between. Everybody needs love. And as David said, always love never fails. And that's inspired by a scripture, right?
Oh, sure. Well, I think it's the love chapter, right, in 1 Corinthians 13 that says, you know, faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. And also earlier in that chapter, I believe 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8 says, love never fails. And so, you know, we know God is love, right? Literally, God is love.
Tell the people, you and I used to go into the prisons, you and I would go in together. And I was up there giving a concert or singing once, and you were in the back of the room with this great big African-American black man. And he's standing with you, and you were singing Amazing Grace. And you two had a quiet conversation while I was finishing up. Tell them about this conversation. You were a little naive at the time. I love this story, though.
Well, as you said, we had just finished sharing the gospel with these men in a prison. I believe it was the Auburn Maximum Security Prison. And this gentleman, after we finished singing Amazing Grace, turns to me and I said, you know, how's it going? And he said, well, I'm a lifer. And I thought, oh, praise God, you're committed to Jesus for life. That's the way we have to be. Because I had never heard the expression that I'm in for life. I have a life sentence. That someone called it, I'm a lifer. I never heard it. So only thing I was thinking was about Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, I'm a lifer. And I said, praise God. And he looks at me like just really strangely. And he said, no, that's not what I meant. I meant I'm in for life. And I thought, oh no, oh my word. I felt so terrible. I felt like I was celebrating this terrible piece of news that he was telling me he was in for life. And oh, my word. I just said, well, I didn't know what to say. I was almost speechless. And I just kind of mustered up a couple of words and said, well, the Lord has a lot of work for you to do in here. You know, there's things that God has for you to do. And I literally just slithered away, because when I asked him, I said, well, what are you in for? He said, well, I killed two people. And I literally thought for a moment in my heart that he was going to kill me. I was going to be his third person that he'd killed, because he wasn't happy with my comment.
Well, you know, God chooses the foolish things of the world to confound those that are wise in their own eyes. And yeah, there's a good chance, you know, you realize that if he might have been 5 or 10 years older than us at the time, or maybe our age, there's a good chance that that man might still be in Dannemora or wherever that place was we were at, in that secure prison. He might still be very much alive to this day. And hopefully he has come to know Jesus as his Lord and Savior.
Well, you know, his actions of killing a person is good at news and bad news. The bad news is he received a penalty for doing that very evil act. But, you know, let's not forget that many of the people that Jesus chose in the Bible were killers themselves, whether it was Moses and the killing of a Egyptian, or it was David and having Bathsheba's husband killed in warfare, or even the Apostle Paul as he stood by and watched Christians being stoned like Stephen, the first martyr. So wherever people are in their life, God is able to forgive and bring redemption from things we've done that were not right, and make them to be used for good purposes. So, you know, that's something that's helpful to remember, that no one has achieved. We've all fallen short of God's glory, and the wages of our sin, of course, we know to be death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, you know, wherever people are in their journey, you know, God never gives up on us, and he's going to take whatever has seemingly been a bad thing in your life. And although you're certainly welcome to grieve for things you've done that are wrong, God doesn't want you to stay in grief. He wants you to allow him into that situation and turn that grief into something that can be used for not only your benefit, but for other people's benefit, to give people hope, because hope is very critical for people to come to understand that no matter where they are, there is hope, and God will bring us the hope that we need to move forward in our lives.
Always love, never fail. If you always love, you will not fail. If you're in sales and you love your clients and you would not sell them something that would hurt them, that is love. If you're going to serve food, put your love into it. Whatever you do in life, if you love others, you'll never fail. You have a marriage, you have problems, always love, you'll never fail. It's a great motto. And your shirt, love God, love people, change the world. David Preston Usher, Uber driver for the Lord now. Keep on keeping on. High rolling there. And thanks for spending time with us today.
Great to be with you, Red, as always.
Okay, what's your favorite scripture?
Well, I think of the one that God burned into my heart, to be anxious, to worry about nothing, but in everything in your life, through prayer and supplication, asking God with thanksgiving, make your request made known unto God. He wants to hear from you. He's your Father. Let him know what you want, what you really need in your life. And the peace that passes understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus, so you can live a life of peace and love and joy. That's Philippians 4, verses, I believe, 6 through 8. That's
okay. All right. Thank you, David. All right. We've got to take a break. And I'm Rhett Palmer. And it's a new day, if you want it to be.
Tune in again Monday at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is A New Day.
A slip in your bathtub or shower can be disastrous. I'm Al Cadullo, the bathroom grab bar specialist, and I install grab bars to meet your specific needs and to give you peace of mind. I can be reached at 772-370-9242 or visit bathroomgrabbarspecialist.com.
Looks like tonight the sky is heavy, feels like the wind